first, we've received several questions on the next topic from listeners, including Judy Olson from Bailey's Harbor and Emily Brookheiser from Madison. Here's Emily with her question.
Where does the word "wah" in a lot of Wisconsin city names come from? For example, Wausau, Waukesha, and Wanakee all start with "wah," and I'm wondering what language that comes from and what it means.
To go about answering this question, we called up a couple of experts. Monica McCauley is a professor of language sciences at UW-Madison and affiliated faculty with the university's American Indian Studies program. She works with the Menominee and their language revitalization and reclamation programs. Monica, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian McInnes is an associate professor of civil society and community studies in the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Brian's a native Ojibwe speaker, enrolled member of the Ojibwe Nation, and a descendant of the Wisconsin Potawatomi tribe. Brian, welcome to the show. Do we have you, Brian? Well, we'll try to get him, but yeah, Monica, oh, there you are.
I made it. I'm here. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. I think we lost you there for just a sec. Well, I wanted to ask each of you, before we get into this question of the WA part of names, I wanted to ask each of you about work that you're doing with native language preservation and revitalization. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on?
Sure. And one of the things that I'm really pleased and excited about is I will be taking over the Ojibwe language program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison this coming fall. So that's something I greatly look forward to, and that's also very complementary to my work in language immersion education, as well as storytelling traditions in northern Wisconsin communities.
And Monica, same question. What kind of work are you doing?
I'd say the most exciting work that I'm doing is working with the Menominee. They've started a new immersion daycare, and for the first time in a very long time, you've got little tiny babies learning to speak Menominee as their first language, so that's very exciting.
Now, for a little background before we dig into the question at hand, Brian, can you tell us a little bit about the variety of native languages that have been and currently are spoken in the Wisconsin area?
Yeah, Wisconsin is, you know, a very exciting state in terms of its linguistic diversity. You know, we have in northern parts of the state, we certainly have Ojibwe widely spoken, but also, as Monica's indicated, Menominee, one of our cousin languages, Potawatomi or Bodewadmi is also a very dynamic and important language in our state. But then we also have languages from other indigenous nations, such as, you know, the Ho-Chunk people. And of course, in Madison, Wisconsin, we're very respectful of the Ho-Chunk and their traditional territory here. We have Oneida language, which is also a very significant and historic language in Wisconsin. So we're quite fortunate to have that kind of dynamic vibrancy in our state.
And Monica, Brian mentioned a couple of the languages on that list were cousins. I understand some of them are very far separated. I've seen people say, yeah, some of them are as closely related as German and Chinese, for example.
Well, Menominee, Potawatomi, and Ojibwe are all from the same language family. So it would be like being an Indo-European language or something like that. Ho-Chunk is Siouan, and Oneida is Iroquoian, and they are completely unrelated families.
All right, now let's get to the question that started us off here, this wah syllable that appears from Milwaukee to Wauwatosa to Wausau and beyond. And I understand the answer isn't as simple as I might have thought it would have been. Where do you want to start on this, Brian?
Sure. You know, it's one of the things with, I think, when you think of the location of where these places are and then think of the traditional groups of Native people who would have occupied each of those locations. And in so many cases, I think, as Monica was indicating, you know, we do have Algonquin-speaking peoples who were in a number of those areas. So, but again, it becomes the challenge of, I think, every place name researcher to try to figure out what might have gone awry in the way the name was first written down, and as importantly, the way the name gets said today. So that's usually an interesting starting place when we're trying to determine what was the original place name and what was the meaning behind that place name. Does that sound right, Monica?
That totally sounds right. I've been spending my day, it was really a lot of fun because I'm a big word nerd, and I've been spending my day looking at this wonderful book by Virgil Vogel called Indian Names on Wisconsin's Map. And he did a lot of the work for us. And basically, the answer to the question is nope, there's no relationship. The wa, it's just chance that they start with wa.
Interesting. And is part of that, Monica, the translation issue? Maybe there were a bunch of different words, maybe in different languages, that, say, English settlers or maybe French settlers, depending on the timing, kind of all heard and lumped together as that wa syllable?
No, in each case, there's a pretty clear etymology for it. So wasaw, wasaw, for example, comes from the Ojibwe word for far away or distant. Brian, how would you say that yourself?
I would say wasa.
Wasa, yeah. So that's probably what it comes from. And then wanaki, now this one I don't know, and Brian, you can tell me if this makes any sense to you. What Vogel says is that he says it's possibly from wanaki, I inhabit a place in peace.
And that is, you know, I think that's one of the interesting things when we're working at reconstructing a meaning in a word from some map by someone's, I guess, iteration or version of that. I would agree that could be a meaning of it. It could also be a place where somebody got lost, too. So
really?
That is also a possibility, one a key, you know, getting lost on one's journey upon the earth. So who knows? But that's also times when you have the place name without the story to go with it. It's sometimes hard to contextualize what the person actually meant to say.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Brian, any other names? We've got a lot of cities with that wa syllable. Any others that stand out to you as you know, possible sources of their meanings?
Sure. And, you know, one of the things I think, especially when you drive through the greater, you know, Milwaukee area, the place names there, you really see the richness of especially the Potawatomi historic influence there. And so when you're, you know, and like as Monica said, a word nerd, or like I'm very much that myself, you know, trying to read through wondering what does that actually mean? What is the, so it actually becomes a little dangerous driving through there sometimes because there's so many fantastic words. But, you know, when you figure one out, there's this incredibly, you feel like you've just done something amazing, like you just figured out this puzzle. And a lot of times in Algonquin languages in particular, you know, the wa can refer to, you know, flashes of light or brightness. And so when you hear the wawatosa, and it makes you think of, you know, the old Potawatomi word for firefly, and that kind of, especially with the reduplicated, the double wa, it refers to something which might be flashing or intermittent in its frequency. So it's something, you know, bright and some kind of light, or, you know, beautiful effervescence coming off something. So it's actually, for a place name to have that meaning or association, it would be a very positive kind of meaning. So that's usually most welcome.
Well, that's really interesting. So it's, you know, in my head, I thought it would be a wa would be like water or place or something like this one word. But it sounds like, Monica, not only is it not that, it also, there might be layers of symbolism or metaphor built up in these names as well.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes it might be very simple. So the book that I was looking at, Vogel, didn't have an explanation for Waukesha. And I looked around on the web, and it looks like it probably comes from the Potawatomi word for fox. And I'm not sure I can pronounce this right, but it's something like Waukesha. What is it in Ojibwe, Brian?
Would be Wagush.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's in the ballpark. Okay, so that might be a case, do you think, Brian, where it was named after a particular word?
Oh, very much so. And, you know, so many places may also, you know, derive their meaning from, you know, the historic shared tribal or indigenous legacy of the state. You know, we know for, you know, hundreds of years, different tribal groups have made Wisconsin their home or been through Wisconsin. And, you know, even the legacy of their presence and their history in the state may be reflected in some of these place names. I often think of Madison, you know, our wonderful four lakes here. You know, when you think of Wingra, you know, place of many ducks, the Ho-Chunk name, and you think of, you know, like Monona, which, you know, has been rumored to be an Algonquin name, but, you know, we really had to think about that before we finally, you know, were able to derive Minonagwet, a lake of beautiful appearing water, to, even Mendota, which might be derived from a Dakota name. So I think these place names, they refer as much to, you know, the present contemporary uses of these places or ways that we know them to the historic occupations of tribal groups.
Well, in a way, I want to, you know, get a time machine and go back and learn the stories. But in a way, and here's where I want to wrap up, I want to ask both of you about the value of talking about these languages in the present tense as living languages now. Brian, let's start with you.
I think it's especially in the present when language revitalization is so important to all Indigenous peoples in Minnesota that, you know, learning Indigenous languages, promoting Indigenous languages, you know, really there could be nothing more quintessentially American than that. That is our original shared history and one that we can all be proud of and can all learn and celebrate together.
And Monica, your thoughts on the present day, present and future of Native languages?
I think one of the most moving things I ever heard was at a meeting where a young woman whose language had not been spoken for a while, but who was working towards bringing it back, said that when she heard the word extinct, it made her feel horrible. And she sort of stood there and then she just said, "I am not extinct." And it's so much to do with identity. It's an incredibly important piece of people's identity, and that's why it's really important to keep them going.
We'll leave it there for now. Monica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Brian, thanks for being with us.
Miigwech. Thank you.
We've been talking to Monica McCauley, Professor of Language Sciences at UW-Madison, and Brian McInnes, Associate Professor of Civil Society and Community Studies, also at UW-Madison. We talked to them today about the roots of Wisconsin place names that have WAU, W-A-U, in them, and what they tell us about language past and present. And this conversation came from several audience questions as part of our Why Wisconsin project. Submit your own questions, and we might answer it in a future story. Go to WPR.org/WhyWisconsin. That's Wisconsin, spelled with W-H-Y, not W-A-U.